So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City. And we got a lot of things to talk about tonight. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio, and I got my boys, Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser, calling in on Zoom. And if you're watching on social media, we appreciate it. And yeah, we got a great show tonight. We got a bunch of guests, and we got Brian Till. He's a renowned broadcaster. You probably heard his name. And he's coming on here in just a few minutes. And then we got the corner marshal supervisor out at COTA, Dave Foreman, coming on. Then we got the boys from Super Lap Battle. They're going to do a little sponsor of Speed City and tell us about the Super Lap Battle coming back to COTA. That's a cool deal. But how are you boys, Jonathan and Les? Y'all doing good?
A little bit jaded. Had a busy weekend doing motorsport from 18,000 miles away, but had a lovely time.
Fantastic. But yeah, I heard some good stuff. I got out and did a mountain bike run yesterday and fell into a cactus. I survived. And today I worked in the garage. All good.
That sounds like a good story. I fell into a cactus.
Like a good weekend.
Jonathan, you were on the microphones for the Toyota Racing Series for I don't know how many hours this weekend, right?
Yeah, we were live streaming. Usually I'd be down there, of course, but because of COVID, no international drivers and therefore no international commentators, unfortunately. So it was an all New Zealand affair, but we live streamed the whole event. So that's all the categories, and that's muscle cars and tin tops and V8s and utes, as they call them, truck racing.
Ah, I love the utes.
And of course, yeah. And it's headlined by the Toyota Racing Series, which, of course, is the junior series or junior formula series where the likes of Lando Norris, Lance Stroll, Liam Lawson more recently have all sort of cut their teeth and made their name. And it's a really great series, and I've been part of it for the last decade. I love it. But like I said, this weekend, the New Zealand Grand Prix was an all Kiwi New Zealand affair.
Yeah, and it was streaming on, what, motorsport.tv, I think is what it was?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, if you want to see the highlights and catch up with some of the action, you can go to motorsport.tv, which is great that they're taking it. And it's, well, it hasn't finished. We've got races next weekend and the weekend after. So it's a three races each weekend, nine races in all. And although the international V8 drivers like Van Gisbergen and Van der Drift won't be taking part in the whole series, they just wanted to do the Grand Prix to make it a bigger occasion. But the youngsters and the next kids coming up, you know, will be taking part in that. People like Ronan Murphy, who took part in F4 here in the States this year.
Yeah, and you know what, Jonathan, we were talking about this earlier, is that it's pretty cool that it's finally happened. You're calling live motorsports all over the world from your bedroom.
Yeah. And you know, we did the E-Series with Trans Am, and, you know, I've done Zoom commentaries before, or at least you know, internet commentaries before, but this was the first time that I'd actually done a live race to live TV. It was shown live in Australia and New Zealand, and of course worldwide on motorsport.tv, and also they put it out on the PA, which really kind of freaked me out, so I could hear myself going to the crowd, which was just weird.
I don't know, with all that, John, don't you think his neighbors are a little curious?
You know, it's funny, when I put the mic down last night at about midnight, 12:30, because it was the Grand Prix was the finish. And
there was a round of
really
applause
close.
In your apartment complex?
Well, I don't know about a round of applause, I'm sure they were wondering, yeah. I'm sure they were wondering what the hell was going on up here. And if I'd have told them what was going on, they wouldn't have believed me.
Oh, that's hilarious. I never thought about that. Yeah, because you can be quite vociferous on the microphone.
I like the word.
Well, I'm excited because we're going to talk all about the Rolex. And everybody got to watch the Rolex. The new way they did it, where they had the 100-minute qualifying at the Roar for the Daytona 24 Hours. And
yeah, I think.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like it because, you know, you've got to be, I mean, endurance racing is, it's a very specialist form of motor racing, and you're either into it or you're not into it. It's a good spectacle, especially in a 24-hour race where things go wrong and you're racing against the clock, but qualifying can be pretty dull, to be fair, and so they've spiced it up a bit and created a race, a 100-mile race, out of what's called the Roar before the 24, and usually the Roar was held early January as a shakedown, more or less, and so really was a non-event, whereas this very much was an event because they were racing and racing hard, and it was really just to decide the pole, which seems a lot of work to decide a pole, but they put it the week before the actual 24-hour race. So literally tonight they'll put the cars away and they'll be in Daytona for the rest of the week getting ready, which is kind of normal anyway, but I think it's a much smarter way of allocating time rather than creating a situation where you're in Daytona potentially for 3 weeks getting ready.
Yeah.
And with COVID, I think very smart.
Well, you know, there's a lot to discuss about that because some of the teams have talked about the pros and the cons of doing the Roar the week before instead of 2 weeks before. So, hey, but guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion about the Rolex 24 because we have our guest Brian Tilde going to join us. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
Battle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the ultimate time attack challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars, featuring the GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Track Ride-Alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Ah, DSW, Earthplace of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Guys, I don't think we were appropriately excited that first segment because racing has started again, guys. Jonathan was calling the Toyota Racing Series. We got the Roar going on. We got the Rolex 24 in a week. I think that we need to pump it up just a little bit, and I think probably can help us with that as our first guest. I'm really excited to have him. Big fan of this. Brian Till. Brian, welcome to Speed City.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm...
Were you muted?
I had you on mute. I'm looking for my cayenne pepper in the pantry, and I just found it. So I was away from my phone, and you were muted.
See, I told you he was going to spice it up for us. He's got the cayenne.
Well, what do you think, Brian?
I know.
He not only drives a cayenne, he eats it too.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I'm in the middle of making a little spicy tomato sauce because it's late here. It's 8:15, so I'm East Coast time, and my kids run around and do all kinds of things. And one of my kids had a baseball meeting, and we eat dinner late anyway, so we're having a late dinner. I'm cooking a little spicy, smoky tomato sauce.
I love it.
As a good old Texas guy, I was hoping you were fixing some enchiladas or something. But
well, no, we had tacos last night, but I mean,
okay, there you go.
Here's the deal. So it's got smoked tomatoes. It's got liquid smoke in it. It's got cayenne. It's got a little fiesta steak seasoning in it. So it's not, you know, the Italians probably don't like me very much for what I do to spaghetti sauce, but it's more of a, Texas kind of spaghetti sauce.
You sound quite the culinary expert.
Yeah, Tex-Italian. I've heard of it.
I love to cook. You know, I do. And obviously, per my waistline, I love to eat. So,
hey, never
I guess
trust
if you're
going to
do one,
chef.
You get the other one, you know? So
that's right. Never Brian, trust any chef.
Brian, we were keen to get you on for lots of reasons. We've got, both of us have got F4 and F3 coming up in the not-too-distant future. We know you're an aficionado, not only in cooking, but in a little bit of sports car racing. And, of course, that's coming up next weekend, and it was this weekend. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. And whatever you want to talk about, racing in COVID, you know, life in the fast lane, whatever.
So we're not on television, so I'm cooking while we're having this conversation. I can drink wine while we do this, right?
Absolutely.
You could. We wouldn't tell anyone.
We encourage it, actually.
Oh, well, that's exactly, yeah. All right, so no one needs to know, but that's what's happening. So there you go.
Well, wait a minute. Whose wine are you drinking?
We've had Pruitt on a few times, and he likes to drink his wine when he's on.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there you go. Scott's got some good wine. I don't want to leave Kevin Buckler out of the wine conversation either because his feelings would be hurt.
Yeah, we've had him on. He likes his wine.
Well, and you got AJ Foyt, too. You know, you got a selection there.
I've not had any of AJ's wine. I've had Andretti's, I've had Pruitt's, I've had Kevin's, but I have not had any Foyt wine.
I think Kevin's is my favorite bottle shape and design with those tachometers and shifters and all that stuff.
His racer series or whatever it is.
Yeah. I've got a bottle of that at the house right now. Well, hey, Brian, I got to ask you, man.
Was this about food and wine, or was this about racing?
I know we got to shift gears and talk some racing, man. How about the topic of the Rolex and the Roar, the schedule with COVID and everything? Have you talked to drivers and teams about the fact that it's now 1 week apart and how that's affecting teams?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, I think when the schedule first came out, there were a lot of people who were against it, you know, and they were like, no. And I think as time has gone on, and after we watched a really good race today, I guess that's the other thing that was cool about the race today. The weather changed completely, just like it can over 24 hours in Daytona. But anyway, I think when you look at it, you look at the new point structure and all of that, the race made sense. And in reality, for some of these teams who haven't had a chance to race together before, coming to the Roar and just testing maybe isn't really what they need. This little dress rehearsal with kind of that short 100-minute race really has allowed some of these teams who've not been together under race conditions a little mini race test before then. I think that's actually kind of good. And then obviously, if you crash your car, well, then you're going to complain that there's not enough time to fix it before the 24. Luckily, I don't think anybody did that in a big enough way that it's going to impact anything. But, you know, when you look at it, you guys can remember there were years when it was like the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of January. And let's face it, there were still some crew members and stuff that had headaches when they got down there for the Roar that early in the month. And then you had a lot of time to get things ready, maybe even go back to your shop, even if it was quite the haul. And then it got pushed a week later one year. And now all of a sudden, there wasn't much time, you know, maybe just a couple of weekends. And so when you really looked at the back and forth, you didn't have time to do anything. And this way, I think even in a non-COVID time, when you look at it, this way may not be a bad thing. From a travel standpoint, you've got 10 or 11 days worth of hotels instead of, you know, two flights, a flight there and a flight back to wherever you were, and then another set of flights to get you back down for the race and stuff. So it may actually end up being a cost-effective way as well. And, you know, even post-COVID, that same type of schedule may continue. And I actually like the idea of racing for the pole, although the complaining after the race about BOP and people not showing their hand and stuff, I don't, you know, I mean, we have that every year that you go down there. But I would think that, and the officials think, it's why they came up with it, they think it's a better way to keep people from trying to not show their hand. But again, with all the data that they have these days, it's kind of difficult to hide stuff because the data that the technical staff looks at, you know, they watch telemetry real time from some of the teams sitting on the pit box down the IMSA pit box down the pit lane. So they know what's going on and they can see, and they're smart. You know, they can see where you can hide things and if you are hiding things. So I don't know. I mean,
you know, Brian, that was something I wanted to ask you about because Pippo Durrani, who's a good friend of the show, and Felipe Nasser were both quite, you know, quite strong about the other guys not showing their hand, and they seemed a little bit miffed, a little bit pissed off that nobody was, and I get it, but I mean, you know, how does it work? I mean, how will they decide a BOP now off what we've seen?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know that there would. I'm not sure per the rules. I've got like four or five rule books in my head right now, so they get confused. I'm not sure that they can make a BOP change now before the race. I'd have to go back and review it and see how far out they can make one. So I don't know that it can be done now. In years past, you know, to the point of when the roar was earlier, people most definitely, you know, would try to hold back. And it got harder and harder to do as technology got better and better and the officials had more and more to look at. But with weeks, you know, if you did it the first weekend in January and the race was the last weekend in January, the officials had plenty of time to make a BOP adjustment. It was well within the rules and it could be done, and it was done a lot. I just look at it now and I go, I'm not sure that, again, with the qualifying race, and remember, it wasn't just a race to determine the pole, the points involved.
Yeah.
It's basically 10% of a race win. So it was 35 for the pole, 350 for a race win now. And those points matter. You know, they're going to matter all year long, these qualifying sessions that they do, the way they're going to do qualifying now. They're going to matter all year long. So saying that it's not important to go out and get those points, what was the points differential at the end of the year last year in DPI? It was not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
So I really can't see anybody holding back. Also, think back to 2 years ago when the Lamborghinis and GTD really held back at the roar, and when they showed up for their 24 and it was discovered what they had done, they got hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered.
Yeah, that was a big deal, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just think the price to be paid for that isn't worth it, you know? But, you know, I could well be wrong. Racers are racers, and you're always going to try to extract everything you can out of the car and out of the rules. You know, I had somebody ask me last year in another series, we were talking about rules, and they said, so you want us to follow the black and white then, is what you're saying. And I said, what would Roger Penske do?
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, do you really think that Roger Penske doesn't read in the gray between the line, or he doesn't hire people to do that? I said, yeah, I expect you to follow the rules, and I expect you to look for the gray areas. That's what racers do. That's what engineers do. You try to exploit every advantage that you can. But when you get caught, or when somebody says that's as far as you can go, your gray is now black, or your gray is now white, you know, and you've gone too far in one direction or another, you have to stop. But yeah, you should always try to exploit. That's what you do. You know,
that's racing.
I mean, and there is it's racing, and there's a line in every rule book. And again, I've been reading a bunch of them because the new ones are out. I think every rule book I've read, there is the line that says what is not explicitly permitted in this guide is not allowed. So it has to be expressly permitted, but your opinion and my opinion on what expressly permitted is may be different, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, Brian, I want to ask you about today's racing, because it's a cavalcade of stars, as they say out there. And
yeah.
I was watching, you know, I want to see Kevin Magnussen, Jimmy Johnson, everybody. And Magnussen came out looking great right after the stop. And what'd you think of today? Anything jump out at you?
Yeah, I did, actually. First of all, Kevin Magnussen is the real deal. Like, we didn't know that before, but I mean, he hadn't had much time in the car at all. And if you watch the broadcast from an NBC standpoint, you were listening to Dave Burns and Calvin Fish. I didn't listen to an IMSA radio broadcast, so I don't know what John Hindoff was having to say. But, you know, Calvin was pointing out that Magnussen was supposed to be over here quite a while ago, several weeks ago, to do some testing and to do some time in the sim and get acquainted with the car. But he had some travel issues, and then his wife went into labor early and delivered their child early. So he didn't get here until just last week. And I think he got his seat fitted down in Sebring, and then, I mean, effectively, he's had very little time in the car. It didn't surprise me at all to see him do well in the conditions that he was in either. You know, I mean, as someone who spent a lot of his career, I would imagine, driving in less than ideal weather conditions, you know, he adapted to that very quickly. And I think to some extent, I mean, a DPI is, I mean, it's a rocket ship, and it is a very sophisticated car, sophisticated aerodynamics, powertrain, and all that other kind of stuff. But compared to a Formula One car and the speeds at which they operate, especially in braking, the DPI has to be, I would imagine, a little relaxed for him. Mm-hmm. It's like back in the 90s when I was in the early 90s when I was in IndyCar, and I watched a lot of the fast guys go by me a lot. People would talk about, I've got this great picture of me and Mario from Loudoun, New Hampshire. It was on the first test day that IndyCar ever ran there. It was a sanctioned test day by CART. And Mario's low and I'm high. And, you know, some sports reporter from the Loudoun paper who knew nothing about IndyCar racing, obviously, took this picture, and I was on the front page of the sports section, and it said, Brian Till leads Mario Andretti through 3 and 4 at Loudoun. And I was like, thank God you can't see speed differential in a still photo, because I'm sure Mario was like 15 miles an hour faster. I just happened to be in front during the picture. But anyway.
But you cut it out.
You permanently mounted somewhere.
Sure. It's on my freaking wall. I mean, why wouldn't you? But anyway. But everybody would talk about the European drivers that came to IndyCar and how good they were on short ovals and how surprised everybody was. And I always said, why is that surprising to you? You know, when you look at European racetracks that are fast and flowing, a lot of high-speed corners, and that's what a short oval is. I mean, it's high-speed corners. To me, it was not surprising at all. And it wasn't surprising at all how they adapted to an IndyCar on a road course, because the brake package that was on an IndyCar at the time was nowhere near what the brake package was on a Formula One car. So the braking zone was considerably longer in an IndyCar. You had time to think and plan, and, you know, you didn't go nearly as deep as you would have at the same speed into the same apex speed type corner as you would in a Formula One car. So it had to be a little more relaxing. And that's what Kevin has to be sensing, I would think, in the DPI. The brake zones are a little bit longer. You're not arriving at the same kind of top speed. Obviously, he doesn't have the same amount of aero to work with, but the car, and don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying it's easy to drive, because any car to drive at the limit, you still have to dance and play with the devil and all that kind of stuff. But I'm sure it's just a slightly slower pace for him in that car.
Yeah, it's got to be like the
Formula One car.
Like the rest of us, you know, get going from riding on the track to riding on the street. He's just kind of got one hand on the windowsill, you know, driving an LMP car after an F1 car. But hey,
yeah,
Brian,
he wasted no time in wanting to lead something.
Well, that's true. He wasn't used to leading. Hey, Brian.
Oh, my God, I'm close to the front.
Brian, I want to ask you about the F4, F3 series that you're involved in here. And, you know, I mean, Jonathan, too. But what's your role there?
I am a steward. Last year, I was chairman of the stewards. And all that meant was that I got to sit and talk to drivers. We always do it in a panel. But, you know, I would be the one that would lead the panel because I was the chairman of the steward. The other two stewards that I worked with the vast majority of the time, Wes Cunningham and John Walsh, are much better stewards than I and much better educated in the rules. Remember, I'm just a stupid ex-race car driver who became a broadcaster who then became an official. So they were much more educated in that. And, you know, and they're both race car drivers. You know, they're both SCCA drivers who have raced at high level of national competition and all that. So they're good guys and they know what they're talking about. But As that steward panel, you know, we would review incidents that Scott Goodyear, who's the race director, wanted us to review, and then talk to drivers. And the guys would write the long, tedious FIA documents much more often than I would. But, you know, I tended to have the role of being conversing with the drivers and their sponsors, parents most of the time, and, you know, team owners about what went right and what went wrong and handing down decisions and explaining why we see it the way that we see it. And, you know,
you need both, though. You need those guys that read the books back and forth, but you need the driver's, you know, perspective too, that you brought to it, you know?
And every series has that, you know, I mean, every series has that. You look at IMSA and you look at the group that has been assembled there. I've known Bo Barfield since Bo was like 6 years old. When I first started racing in the SCCA in the Southwest Division, you know, I grew up in Houston, and I raced a little bit with Bo's dad, Joe. And so I literally knew Bo from the time he was a little kid. Now he's like 6 inches taller than I am because I never continued to grow and he did, but that's okay. I'm 5'8" on a good day if I sleep in boots hanging upside down, you know, from one of those like back racks or whatever. But my 17-year-old is 6'1" and taller than I am, so I guess I'll be short forever. But but you look at Bo and the guys that are around him in race control, and Paul Walter, who deals so much with the rules and regulations. And if you have a question, you call Paul and, you know, you ask the question and you think it's a really good one. And then you can hear in his voice that you're obviously not very smart at all, but he's going to explain it to you anyway. It's kind of like when you were 10 and you asked your parents something and they would go, all right, here's why. Yeah. You know, and Paul, and I love him. He's actually a great guy. But Paul's that guy that is the encyclopedia, you know, and Bo is the guy that is just down to earth and normal and you can have a conversation with. And he's, you know, out there on his, what do they call that board with one wheel that he rides around these days? I don't know what it is, but, you know, and so he's assembled a great team. And then you look at the driver representatives that work with him, Johnny Unser and Didier Tays, and I think EFR was in that role for a while. I don't know if he's doing it now, but I mean, between everybody that's in race control, it takes a team like that. It's just like it takes a team to put a car on the racetrack. It takes a team with different strengths.
Well, Brian,
you know, to get things done.
We're up against it at a time, but tell everybody where they can hear you these days. I know that you're on social a little bit and Twitter and stuff, but tell us where we can hear you and all that.
Well, I'm not massively active on that. I am on Twitter and I'm on Facebook, which shows you that I'm old. But I'm worried about being canceled, so I don't really post a lot. You know, we're in this culture, and I know that I'm bound to say something that'll get me in trouble. But yeah, so but obviously you can hear me next weekend on the Rolex 24 broadcast on the NBC ladder of networks that they've got going next weekend. So it'll be NBC and NBCSN and the app and all of that, and we've got a great team that's bringing that race to everybody. So,
awesome,
and I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's always something that throws a wrench into the Rolex 24 as far as the race goes, whether it's weather or anything like that. And that's what makes it so exciting. So,
and that's what makes it hard to go to sleep. You're going, I know if I fall asleep now, then I'm going to miss something and I don't want to. Well, Brian Till, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you coming on. And
I enjoyed it.
We appreciate your insights and we'll get you back on. And I'd love it. And I love hearing you. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, bring dinner next time.
You guys
time.
Have a great night. I'm going to enjoy my spaghetti.
Thanks, Brian. We appreciate it.
There you go.
All right,
thanks,
we're going to go.
Appreciate it.
We're going to go straight to break and we'll be back after these messages.
When you're looking for or traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan Taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are going to shift gears and talk about some Austin Motorsports. And we have the man, as far as if you want to be a marshal. So Les, why don't you introduce your longtime friend?
Absolutely. Well, for one, my foodie buddy, nicknamed King Benito, Benito Chips products. This is the guy, but Dave is the guy you got to know for getting involved in some of the officiating work around COTA during races. And I got asked it again a little while back. How do I get to be one of those corner marshals? And I was like, I know the guy, and I've told the story so many times. Welcome, Dave. How do we do this?
Glad to be here. Well, it's not all that difficult. It looks difficult because there's not a door to open on the internet where it just says, here's everything. and hopefully we can kind of clear a little bit of that up. Most of the marshals that you see work in the races, especially the pro races, are SCCA marshals. And whether they're working NASA or they're working Vintage, IMSA, Formula One, if it's in the U.S., it's most likely an SCCA marshal that's performing those duties. Here in Austin, we're really fortunate at COTA because you don't have to be even an SCCA member to join the ranks of the marshals on the track. If you reach out to us, we'll be able to put you in touch with the right people at COTA. And they're always looking for new folks, even if you have absolutely no motorsports experience whatsoever. If you bring a passion, they're going to welcome you with open arms for sure.
That's awesome. But, you know, every one of those guys that I've ever talked to take it really seriously. You know, it's not like it's just out there to have a free afternoon. They're serious about what they're doing.
Well, there's a lot of responsibility. The marshals, the corner marshals and the whole FNC flag and communications team's job, one, is safety. And it's communicating with the drivers and communicating back with race control, making sure that when EVs are needed, they can get dispatched, et cetera. But it's keeping the drivers aware of what's going on ahead of them on the track so that we don't make a bad situation worse. A lot of the events that we had at COTA, for example, when NASCAR came out and tested or when IndyCar came out and tested, when they're actually racing, it's SCCA marshals that are working those. But during the tests, it's COTA employees that are working them. So, you know, if you live in the Austin area and you want to be a marshal, you do yourself a big favor by being both an SCCA marshal and a COTA marshal. And the COTA stands, by the way, are probably the best in the country since they're among the newest and are at the only Formula One track in the country.
Awesome. Well, and I know that, I've seen these guys out here for years, but tell everybody, you know, what are the nuts and bolts? What exactly are they doing out there?
Well, it varies from event to event and sanctioning body to sanctioning body, but on a typical corner stand during Formula One, you may have 11 to 13 people actually working associated with a given corner. So at turn 19, for example, you'll have a chief communicator, you'll have a station captain, you'll have a yellow flag operator, a blue flag operator, you'll have an electronics board operator for the FIA, you'll have, you may have medical, you may have an intervention marshal that would actually get dispatched to go onto the track to assist with the safety teams. Or, you know, on a COTA track day where people drive their own cars on the track, there may be only one or two people on the station. And their main function is to signal the drivers of the cars of what the track condition is ahead. That's the number one thing that they do. And they communicate that back with race control.
Dave, how hard has it been? I mean, we as the commentators for the big screens and the big events, obviously we've been out there when Formula One was supposed to be there, but Tumbleweed doesn't really do much for me in terms of commentating. But how tough has it been for you guys, because you're in the same boat, you know, no major events at all last year?
We missed it. There's no question about it. You know, fortunately, this past year during F1 weekend, SCCA Pro took the date, and we had FR Americas, F4, SRF3, and we had a full weekend. It was a lot of fun. You know, I wish we could have had fans out there. It's always a lot more fun to have spectators, but you know, and with the announcement of MotoGP, now there's an open date on the calendar. Again, the upside is that it very likely there's going to be a U.S. event that'll fill that weekend. And it's really just the big international events that are the big challenge because of the travel restrictions.
Yeah, and that's actually a good little segue there, because it looks like, I mean, is it now official that MotoGP is not coming early in their April slot, that it's going to be later in the year? Is that official yet?
Yeah, it's been postponed at best.
Yeah, dang.
And they're looking towards what, the end of the year again for both COTA and Argentina, yeah?
That's my understanding of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dave,
so is there any truth to the rumor that Dave Foreman on his e-bike that's usually in the paddock is going to go out and take hot laps?
I moved to a stand-up scooter. So, I don't know if I'll get up turn one.
Scooters are fine as long as they're not on the public roads in downtown. I hate that. Hey, Dave, I got a funny but also serious question for you. I'm sure you remember the year, I don't remember what event, I think it was Lone Star Le Mans, when the school bus ended up on...
That was F4.
Literally, oh, that was F4, okay. Literally on Circuit of the Americas, a school bus, a yellow school bus, and it was hilarious after the fact and crazy at the moment, but, you know, terribly unsafe, because I think there were actually still cars on track at the time, weren't there?
Yeah, I think there was, and it was a miscommunication, and that was actually... it wasn't the bus driver's fault. She was dispatched to go out and pick up the corner workers. That's how these guys at the big events, that's how everybody gets to their stations. And somebody dispatched her too early. So,
yeah.
The kids loved it, and they came back the next day.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are going to shift gears and talk about some Austin motorsports. And we have the man, as far as if you want to be a marshal. So Les, why don't you introduce your longtime friend?
Absolutely. Well, for one, my foodie buddy, nicknamed King Benito, Benito Chips products. This is the guy, but Dave is the guy you got to know for getting involved in some of the officiating work around COTA during races. And I got asked it again a little while back. How do I get to be one of those corner marshals? And I was like, I know the guy, and I've told the story so many times. Welcome, Dave. How do we do this?
Glad to be here. Well, it's not all that difficult. It looks difficult because there's not a door to open on the internet where it just says, here's everything. and hopefully we can kind of clear a little bit of that up. Most of the marshals that you see work in the races, especially the pro races, are SCCA marshals. And whether they're working NASA or they're working Vintage, IMSA, Formula One, if it's in the U.S., it's most likely an SCCA marshal that's performing those duties. Here in Austin, we're really fortunate at COTA because you don't have to be even an SCCA member to join the ranks of the marshals on the track. If you reach out to us, we'll be able to put you in touch with the right people at COTA. And they're always looking for new folks, even if you have absolutely no motorsports experience whatsoever. If you bring a passion, they're going to welcome you with open arms for sure.
That's awesome. But, you know, every one of those guys that I've ever talked to take it really seriously. You know, it's not like it's just out there to have a free afternoon. They're serious about what they're doing.
Well, there's a lot of responsibility. The marshals, the corner marshals and the whole FNC flagging communications team's job, one, is safety. And it's communicating with the drivers and communicating back with race control, making sure that when EVs are needed, they can get dispatched, et cetera. But it's keeping the drivers aware of what's going on ahead of them on the track so that we don't make a bad situation worse. A lot of the events that we had at COTA, for example, when NASCAR came out and tested or when IndyCar came out and tested, when they're actually racing, it's SCCA marshals that are working those. But during the tests, it's COTA employees that are working. So, you know, it's you. If you live in the Austin area and you want to be a marshal, you do yourself a big favor by being both an SCCA marshal and a COTA marshal. And the COTA stands, by the way, are probably the best in the country since they're among the newest and are at the only Formula One track in the country.
Awesome. Well, and I know that, I've seen these guys out here for years, but tell everybody, you know, what are the nuts and bolts? What exactly are they doing out there?
Well, it varies from event to event and sanctioning body to sanctioning body. But on a typical corner stand during Formula One, you may have 11 to 13 people actually working associated with a given corner. So at turn 19, for example, you'll have a chief communicator, you'll have a station captain, you'll have a yellow flag operator, a blue flag operator, you'll have an electronics board operator for the FIA, you'll have, you may have medical, you may have an intervention marshal that would actually get dispatched to go onto the track to assist with the safety teams. Or, you know, on a COTA track day where people drive their own cars on the track, there may be only one or two people on the station. And their main function is to signal the drivers of the cars of what the track condition is ahead. That's the number one thing that they do. And they communicate that back with race control.
Dave, how hard has it been? I mean, we as the commentators for the big screens and the big events, obviously we've been out there when Formula One was supposed to be there, but Tumbleweed doesn't really do much for me in terms of commentating. But how tough has it been for you guys, because you're in the same boat, you know, no major events at all last year?
We missed it. There's no question about it. You know, fortunately, this past year during F1 weekend, SCCA Pro took the date, and we had FR Americas, F4, SRF3, and we had a full weekend. It was a lot of fun. You know, I wish we could have had fans out there. It's always a lot more fun to have spectators, but you know, and with the announcement of MotoGP, now there's an open date on the calendar. Again, the upside is that it very likely there's going to be a U.S. event that'll fill that weekend. And it's really just the big international events that are the big challenge because of the travel restrictions.
Yeah, and that's actually a good little segue there, because it looks like, I mean, is it now official that MotoGP is not coming early in their April slot, that it's going to be later in the year? Is that official yet?
Yeah, it's been postponed at best.
Yeah, dang.
And they're looking towards what, the end of the year again for both COTA and Argentina, yeah?
That's my understanding of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Dave,
so
I got
is there any truth to the rumor that Dave Foreman on his e-bike that's usually in the paddock is going to go out and take hot laps?
I moved to a stand-up scooter. So, I don't know if I'll get up turn one.
Scooters are fine as long as they're not on the public roads in downtown. I hate that. Hey, Dave, I got a funny but also serious question for you. I'm sure you remember the year. I don't remember what event. I think it was Lone Star Le Mans when the school bus ended up on
that was
F4. Okay. Literally on Circuit of the Americas, a school bus, a yellow school bus. And it was hilarious after the fact and crazy at the moment, but, you know, terribly unsafe because I think there were actually still cars on track at the time, weren't there?
Yeah, I think there was. And it was a miscommunication. And that was actually, it wasn't the bus driver's fault. She was dispatched to go out and pick up the corner workers. That's how these guys at the big events, that's how everybody gets to their stations. And somebody dispatched her too early. So,
yeah.
The kids loved it, and they came back the next day, and then they went to the zoo, and then they came back a week later to see if there was anything else going on at COTA.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, you know, it's not the most uncommon sight. We've had the Wienermobile out on the track a few times as well.
I remember the MotoGP race. I was right there by Kevin Schwantz when the dog ran out.
Yeah, yeah. We've had dogs that we've had to flag for, raccoons, turtles, birds, deer. Interestingly, we've had rattlesnakes on pit lane here in a few events, but those have been remediated.
What about wild hogs? Because I know I-130 suffers from that now and again.
You know, it's funny. I never heard any reports of that at COTA. I know they have it further south down in Caldwell County.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we haven't come face to face with a 800-pound behemoth.
Well, hey, folks, we've got a link set up. It's going to be out on the social media pages here shortly. If you want to join in, it's always a lot of fun. I've known Dave for a long time, and it gets so I recognize and know a lot of the corner marshals. Great fun. It is a serious job, but and gosh, some of the best views in the track.
Can't get closer to the action.
Yeah. Well, Dave Foreman, we appreciate you coming on, and exciting to kind of get back, you know, get to how see, understand how that works and all that, because I haven't really thought about how all those people get organized. So we appreciate that work that you do.
Absolutely. We'll be out at COTA for the Lone Star Grand Prix, the Super Tour with SCCA in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Cool. We'll see you there for the big Porsche event at the end of February.
Yep, that too.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks guys.
All right, see you. I love it. Love it. Love getting the local aspect of motorsports from Circuit of the Americas here on the show, too. All right, well, stick with us. We're going to go through a break. And when we come back, we've got some little more local stuff because we're going to talk to the boys from the Super Lap Battle. Very awesome event coming to COTA here soon. You listen to Speed City, and we'll be back after a quick break.
Mechanical music. Adrenaline surge.
Super Lap Battle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the ultimate time attack challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars, featuring the GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Track Ride-Alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
My name is Christina Nelson, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to have the boys from the Super Lap Battle on here in just a minute. While we wait on them, we got a couple of stories that... not a whole lot going on besides the Rolex and the Toyota Racing Series, but there was a couple of things that were announced that I want to talk about. Maya Wang has made history after being announced as the first ever female member of the Ferrari Driving Academy. I thought that was a really cool story. And then Simone Di Silvestre, another women in motorsports story, returns to the Indy 500 with a women-managed team. And then Iron Lynx, all-female Ferrari crew, steps into WEC. How about that, guys? A bunch of women in motorsports making an impact here.
Yeah, Christina Nielsen, who just brought us back, she was racing today and will be racing next week. Woman power, female power is coming strong this year. And I think it is going to be the year of diversity in all the championships, and I'm delighted for it. Lewis is doing his thing at the very top of the sport his causes. And I think that, what Indy's doing with Simona, and we're also doing something in F3 and F4, Willie T. Ribbs involved in a diversity program with us. I'm excited. I'm excited about the year ahead on that particular issue.
Yeah,
well,
that's a
great combination.
Cool.
Because you've got Catherine Legg, Christine, and Errol Bamber. Talk about a powerhouse combination right there. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, also, Ferrari's going to run the 2018 F1 car at, how do you pronounce it, Fiorana? I always mess that up.
Fiorana,
yeah, in Italy, you know, one of those Ferrari tracks. And there's, seven drivers going to get track time, including Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, but also Mick Schumacher is going to get some time on Thursday and Friday, and Kyle Ilott and Armstrong and Elise. So that's pretty cool. I mean, Jonathan, does it surprise you at all that Mick's going to get some time?
No, it doesn't surprise me, and I think it's good, really good. But I do want to mention, you know, you mentioned the Toyota Racing Series, and both Marcus Armstrong, who is a Kiwi, and Callum Ilott, who's a Brit, are both graduates of the Toyota Racing Series, and when they finally turn a wheel this week, they'll be the 19th and 20th drivers from graduates of the TRS that have driven Formula One cars. And of course, Lando and Lance Stroll and Daniel Kvyat do it on a regular basis. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing Mick and seeing how he does. And I mean, yep, I'm looking forward to seeing Mazepin too, but...
But, well, same track, same car. I mean, it's an older car. It doesn't matter. But instead of being compared to their championships, we're going to see them, depending on the conditions. But if they're pretty stable, we'll get to see a decent comparison between Mick, Mazepin, and the up-and-coming Academy drivers, as well as Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. And, I mean, look, that's also going to be one of the fun things to watch the Ferrari team with Carlos Sainz. I mean, don't you agree? That's going to be one of the – I mean, he's a proven driver, but, you know, in the pressure cooker that is Ferrari and having him pitted up against Leclerc, that's going to be a great story too.
I actually got a feeling that Carlos Sainz is going to hold his own. I mean, there's no question Leclerc is very, very good, but I actually think Carlos Sainz is very, very good, and I don't think we've seen the best of him yet because that McLaren was coming good, but I think he's coming good too.
Yeah, no doubt. What else, Jonathan? I know, I mean, any other stories? Let me ask you this. We always want to know, you have the inside scoop at the Toyota Racing Series because you've seen, like you said, Lando Norris and lots of amazing drivers come through there. Who are we watching this year?
Well, there are a couple. And in fact, the pole position. So yesterday's Grand Prix was all Kiwi, as I mentioned, because it was an international. There was no international drivers at all, which is usually the norm. But what made that also very good was it meant that a lot of the great Kiwis like Chris Vanderdrift and Shane Van Gisbergen, V8 champion, Andre Heimgartner, and several others, Greg Murphy, who was a four-time Bathurst winner, coming back, taking on the youngsters, and it was actually a youngster called Caleb Natoa who took pole position for the Grand Prix, beating Shane and everybody else, which is pretty impressive. But the guy who kind of stood out, and he had three podiums of the weekend, was an 18-year-old called Matthew Payne. And interestingly enough, guess who his engineer was? Liam Lawson, who of course won the championship a couple of years ago and has just moved up to F2. And DTM this year, and he was back in New Zealand, and he'd raced against him when they were both kids, effectively, in karting and Formula First. So he was engineering Matthew, and Matthew was superb, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him. He's been in Europe doing FIA karts for the last couple of years. He didn't change the world, but he certainly made a name for himself this weekend. And the other one to watch is Billy Fraser. He'll be coming here. Billy Fraser is another young Kiwi, and he will be doing F4 here in the States. He's going to be doing AF2000, Formula 2000 on the road to Indy next season. And Ronan Murphy is the other young and up-and-coming driver. He's the son of Greg Murphy, and he did F4 last year.
Hey, what about that young guy I've heard of? He's young at heart, the Ken Smith. Isn't he one of those young and up-and-coming drivers?
Yes. An up-and-coming hopeful. 79-year-old Kenny Smith.
What?
Did the whole 28 laps yesterday, despite having a shoulder operation.
In an F3 car. I mean, in a Formula car, right?
In a brand-new Formula car, yeah. At 79, 28 laps, G-Force, you name it.
I was watching, my son and I were out in the workshop working on his Porsche, and we were listening, and he goes, 79-year-old? Did I hear that right? I go, yeah. He goes, what GT car? I said, no, we're talking a Formula car with all the G-Forces of a Formula car. I would pass out at 79. That's crazy.
And here's the thing. When he first started, so this was his 50th New Zealand Grand Prix. Think about that.
Oh, my
gosh. FIA Grand Prix. He even had a plaque given to him by John Tullard for his services to motorsport over the weekend. But he started racing against Stirling Moss and Jim Clark in the Tasman series back in the 50s. And he's still going.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. I mean, that's hard to believe that he could be even remotely competitive at that age. That's just crazy. But, well, hey, guys, we have a guest that has joined us, and I'm really excited to bring him in because this is a really cool event. He was here, now he's gone.
He's back.
Really cool event that's coming back to Circuit of the Americas. Apparently, there's a streetcar that runs a 207. If you know what a 207 is at COTA, I mean, that's like, what, F4 level racing?
Oh, that's so wicked fast. This is great.
Yeah,
Gibbon, welcome back. We're coming back to Austin. This is one of my favorite events because anything goes and whatever's there goes fast. Cuban, get us caught up on this year and what's new and the pack coming.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. You pretty much nailed it there. 207 and a streetcar. Now, I will put asterisks there. That car is our unlimited class. It has the most allotment of modifications. But the funny thing about his 207 is he ran it on a Hurt motor. And he's coming back this year with full power. But to bring you guys up to speed, we've had an amazing year through COVID. 2020 after COTA was really up in the air with U.S. Time Attack and the organizations running. And all the competitors that also run Global Time Attack that come to Super Lab Battle, they've taken this time to just blow their cars up. We had our final event of the year. I believe 7 records fell. We saw cars that have not come out and competed in a long time go fast. So we're really excited about what 2021 COTA brings. I'm sure you guys know Texas is allowing the first Cars and Coffee of the year at our COTA event. So that's already going to blow up. I'm
awesome.
Sure you guys are locals. I'm sure everyone's itching to go out and just have a good time.
Yeah, that's really awesome. But well, why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about Super Lap Battle? Obviously, we have that unlimited class. It's probably a 2,000 horsepower GTR doing that. But what about
GTR?
Yeah, what about the lower classes and how that works?
Absolutely. So Super Lap Battle is bringing Time Attack here to the U.S. in a bigger fashion. Time Attack has been a fringe sport, been going on in the States ever since the bigger teams came overseas and ran Buttonwillow Raceway Park in the early 2000s. Jason Deanhart and his team have worked very hard to bring Time Attack to a more serious sport where people look at it and go, wow, this isn't just ragtag, put your car together. So even in our lowest classes, these cars fly. So let's go from the bottom. So we have enthusiast, street, limited, and unlimited. Those are the main competition classes. So that, you know, 1,000 horsepower GTR, obviously an unlimited class car. Enthusiast would be your everyday track guy. So the guys that want to get into Time Attack and have a car that is best suited to be entry level, that's our enthusiast class. Street class is a misnomer. When the rules were written 10 years ago, it was street tire class. These are not by any means your street car per se, but they are cars that are based off of production vehicles, and they have a lot of rules to make them feel street-like. Full interior in front of the B-pillar, dash. Everything has to be there. Radio if equipped, HVAC if equipped. Catalytic converter has been removed. That's the only thing that is not required for a street class car. They have minimal aero, obviously. 5-inch splitter. Wing can only go back 5 inches. Can't go above the roof line. Limited class is a step up. Limited class is going to be sequentials are allowed. You can remove 90% of the interior, but you still need a dash and a few other components. These are much higher horsepower cars. There's a big aero box. I mean, you're allowed to have a splitter that goes out 10 inches and 14 inches wide of the car if you wanted to build to the extreme of the aero rules. What a lot of older guys or old school racers would call, you know, spaceships. That's not a car.
That's you can go tailgating on that too after you're done.
You know what? And they do. After the event, you cut up some meat over there in Austin, get some barbecue over.
There you go.
And then the sequential has to be shifted with a paddle. I mean, with a rod. And then unlimited class is basically what it's called. Unlimited paddle shift sequential, full aero, fully gutted, professional drivers. Nitrous is allowed. You know,
it's wow.
Everything above and beyond when it comes to that. So we're really excited to bring it back along with the drift and the car show that'll be there. But we try to focus our hardest on bringing Time Attack into a serious viewpoint from the outside looking in. And we're really blessed that SCCA saw that, and SCCA brought us in as a pro sanctioned event. We're the only sanctioned Time Attack event in the United States with a pro backing. Wow. That's also being backed by an organization such as SCCA.
That's good. That means you guys are obviously running it properly and making it safe and having all the the accoutrement to make it safe. I think I've used that word twice in 2 weeks now. But all the equipment and all the safety gear and everything and all the right people to keep it safe, right?
100%. SCCA used to have to send their individuals to all of our races to confirm we were fulfilling their standards. Obviously, it's a risk for them if you look at it. Not from our standpoint. You know, Jason and his team have been laying it down to the most professional nature from the beginning. But after a couple of events, we realized that it went from a bunch of people to two people to one person to finally like, yeah, you guys got it. So let us know if you need anything. But, you know, we don't have to babysit you anymore. And we've been like that for some while. So SCCA has been very good. And it also brings it from both parties. There are some very fast cars that run SCCA. A Viper from SCCA ran last year in our unlimited class and podium. You know, this is a time trial guy that had never thought about Time Attack. And to give you like a quick difference, Time Attack is building something to run one fast lap. Time trial cars can run entire sessions. Yes, they're fast by every means, but a time trial car has never looked like a spaceship. The alignment's not as aggressive to the point where it'll blow wheels up. They don't push the limit of their engines to 12. You know, they are a reliability kind of car that goes fast. Time Attack guys, doesn't matter if you set your lap on the first lap or last minute of the last session, that's your fastest lap. So these guys really wring everything out of these cars.
Well, this is really exciting. Now, we're out of time, but can people still sign up? Is the field set already? And we can just now everybody just come out and have some fun and watch?
So we always recommend to people who feel they have the experience to go to Superlab Battle USA, do a pre-registration form. I know that the entries are coming in like hotcakes right now, so this would be the best time to do it. Tickets are still available on the website. If anyone has any questions about rules or where their car would fit, obviously we highly recommend reading the rules first, but shoot us an email, rules@superlabbattleusa.com. And just go over all that, but they can definitely come in, get with us. And then if they fit the requirements of running with us, there's a good chance that they can get in. Along with everything else going on the event, it will be live streamed, the entire thing from beginning to end. Our support race, Grid Life Touring Cup, all of that will be
on the internet, nonstop, like
it has been the past few years.
This is exactly what we wanted when Coda first came to Austin. Thank you so much. We are out of time. We appreciate it. Thanks to Brian Till, everybody calling in and listening and watching. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
My name is Christina Nelson, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to have the boys from the Super Lap Battle on here in just a minute. While we wait on them, we got a couple of stories that, not a whole lot going on besides the Rolex and the Toyota Racing Series, but there was a couple of things that were announced that I want to talk about. Maya Wang has made history after being announced as the first ever female member of the Ferrari Driving Academy. I thought that was a really cool story. And then Simone Di Silvestre, another women in motorsports story, returns to the Indy 500 with a women-managed team. And then Iron Lynx, all-female Ferrari crew, steps into WEC. How about that, guys? A bunch of women in motorsports making an impact here.
Yeah, Christina Nielsen, who just brought us back, she was racing today and will be racing next week. Woman power, female power is coming strong this year. And I think it is going to be the year of diversity in all the championships, and I'm delighted for it. Lewis is doing his thing at the very top of the sport his causes. And I think that, what Indy's doing with Simona, and we're also doing something in F3 and F4, Willie T. Ribbs, involved in a diversity program with us. I'm excited. I'm excited about the year ahead on that particular issue.
Yeah,
well,
that's a
great combination.
Cool.
Because you've got Catherine Legg, Christine, and Errol Bamber. Talk about a powerhouse combination right there. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, also, Ferrari's going to run the 2018 F1 car at, how do you pronounce it, Fiorana? I always mess that up.
Fiorana,
yeah, in Italy, one of those Ferrari tracks. And there's, seven drivers going to get track time, including Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, but also Mick Schumacher is going to get some time on Thursday and Friday, and Kalim Ilott and Armstrong and Elise. So that's pretty cool. I mean, Jonathan, does it surprise you at all that Mick's going to get some time?
No, it doesn't surprise me, and I think it's good, really good. But I do want to mention, you mentioned the Toyota Racing Series, and both Marcus Armstrong, who is a Kiwi, and Callum Ilott, who's a Brit, are both graduates of the Toyota Racing Series, and when they finally turn a wheel this week, they'll be the 19th and 20th drivers from graduates of the TRS that have driven Formula One cars. And of course Lando and Lance Stroll and Daniel Kvyat do it on a regular basis, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing Mick and seeing how he does, and I'm looking forward to seeing Mazepin too, but
same track, same car. I mean, it's an older car. It doesn't matter. But instead of being compared to their championships, we're going to see them, depending on the conditions. But if they're pretty stable, we'll get to see a decent comparison between Mick, Mazepin, and the up-and-coming Academy drivers, as well as Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. And, I mean, look, that's also going to be one of the fun things to watch the Ferrari team with Carlos Sainz. I mean, don't you agree? That's going to be one of the he's a proven driver, but, in the pressure cooker that is Ferrari, and having him pitted up against Leclerc, that's going to be a great story too.
I actually got a feeling that Carlos Sainz is going to hold his own. I mean, there's no question Leclerc is very, very good, but I actually think Carlos Sainz is very, very good, and I don't think we've seen the best of him yet, because that McLaren was coming good, but I think he's coming good too.
Yeah, no doubt. What else, Jonathan? Any other stories? Let me ask you this. We always want to know, you have the inside scoop at the Toyota Racing Series because you've seen like you said, Lando Norris and lots of amazing drivers come through there. Who are we watching this year?
Well, there are a couple. And in fact, the pole position. So yesterday's Grand Prix was all Kiwi, as I mentioned, because it was an international. There was no international drivers at all, which is usually the norm. But what made that also very good was it meant that a lot of the great Kiwis like Chris Vanderdrift and Shane Van Gisbergen, V8 champion, Andre Heimgartner, and several others, Greg Murphy, who was a four-time Bathurst winner, coming back, taking on the youngsters. And it was actually a youngster called Caleb Natoa who took pole position for the Grand Prix, beating Shane and everybody else, which is pretty impressive. But the guy who kind of stood out, and he had three podiums of the weekend, was an 18-year-old called Matthew Payne. And interestingly enough, guess who his engineer was? Liam Lawson, who, of course, won the championship a couple of years ago and has just moved up to F2. And DTM this year, and he was back in New Zealand, and he'd raced against him when they were both kids, effectively, in karting and Formula First. So he was engineering Matthew, and Matthew was superb, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him. He's been in Europe doing FIA karts for the last couple of years. He didn't change the world, but he certainly made a name for himself this weekend. And the other one to watch is Billy Fraser. He'll be coming here. Billy Fraser is another young Kiwi, and he will be doing F4 here in the States. He's going to be doing AF2000, Formula 2000 on the Road to Indy next season. And Ronan Murphy is the other young and up-and-coming driver. He's the son of Greg Murphy, and he did F4 last year.
Hey, what about that young guy I've heard of? He's young at heart, the Ken Smith, isn't he one of those young and up-and-coming drivers?
Yes, an up-and-coming hopeful. 79-year-old Kenny Smith.
What?
Did the whole 28 laps yesterday, despite having a shoulder operation.
In an F3 car. I mean, in a Formula car, right?
In a brand-new Formula car, yeah. At 79, 28 laps, G-Force, you name it.
I was watching, my son and I were out in the workshop working on his Porsche, and we were listening. And he goes, 79-year-old? Did I hear that right? I go, yeah. He goes, well, what GT car? I said, no, we're talking a Formula car with all the G-forces of a Formula car. I would pass out at 79. That's crazy.
And here's the thing. When he first started, so this was his 50th New Zealand Grand Prix. Think about that.
Oh, my
gosh. FIA Grand Prix. He even had a plaque given to him by John Tullard for his services to motorsport over the weekend. But he started racing against Stirling Moss and Jim Clark in the Tasman series back in the 50s. And he's still going.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy. I mean, it's hard to believe that he could be even remotely competitive at that age. That's just crazy. But, well, hey, guys, we have a guest that has joined us, and I'm really excited to bring him in because This is a really cool event. He was here, now he's gone.
It's a
really cool event that's coming back to Circuit of the Americas. Apparently, there's a streetcar that runs a 207. If you know what a 207 is at COTA, I mean, that's like what, F4 level racing?
Oh, that's wicked fast. This is great.
Yeah,
Gibbon, welcome back. We're coming back to Austin. This is one of my favorite events because anything goes and whatever's there goes fast. Cuban, get us caught up on this year and what's new and in the pack coming.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks so much for having me. You pretty much nailed it there. 207 in a streetcar. Now, I will put asterisks there. That car is our unlimited class. It has the most allotment of modifications. But the funny thing about his 207 is he ran it on a Hurt motor. And he's coming back this year with full power. But to bring you guys up to speed, we've had an amazing year through COVID. 2020 after COTA was really up in the air with U.S. Time Attack and the organizations running. And all the competitors that also run Global Time Attack that come to Super Lab Battle, they've taken this time to just blow their cars up. We had our final event of the year. I believe 7 records fell. We saw cars that have not come out and competed in a long time go fast. So we're really excited about what 2021 COTA brings. I'm sure you guys know Texas is allowing the first Cars and Coffee of the year at our COTA event. So that's already going to blow up. I'm awesome. Sure you guys are locals. I'm sure everyone's itching to go out and just have a good time.
Yeah, that's really awesome. But why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about Super Lap Battle? Obviously, we have that unlimited class. It's probably a 2,000 horsepower GTR doing that. But what about
GTR?
Yeah, what about the lower classes and how that works?
Absolutely. So Super Lap Battle is bringing Time Attack here to the U.S. in a bigger fashion. Time Attack has been a fringe sport, been going on in the States ever since the bigger teams came overseas and ran Buttonwillow Raceway Park in the early 2000s. Jason Deanhart and his team have worked very hard to bring Time Attack to a more serious sport where people look at it and go, wow, this isn't just ragtag, put your car together. So even in our lowest classes, these cars fly. So let's go from the bottom. So we have enthusiast, street, limited, and unlimited. Those are the main competition classes. So that, you know, 1,000 horsepower GTR, obviously an unlimited class car. Enthusiast would be your everyday track guy. So the guys that want to get into Time Attack and have a car that is best suited to be entry level, that's our enthusiast class. Street class is a misnomer. When the rules were written 10 years ago, it was street tire class. These are not by any means your street car per se, but they are cars that are based off of production vehicles, and they have a lot of rules to make them feel street-like. Full interior in front of the B-pillar, dash. Everything has to be there. Radio if equipped, HVAC if equipped, catalytic converter has been removed. That's the only thing that is not required for a street class car. They have minimal aero, obviously. 5-inch splitter, wing can only go back 5 inches, can't go above the roof line. Limited class is a step up. Limited class is going to be sequentials are allowed. You can remove 90% of the interior, but you still need a dash and a few other components. These are much higher horsepower cars. There's a big aero box. I mean, you're allowed to have a splitter that goes out 10 inches and 14 inches wide of the car if you wanted to build the aero rules. What a lot of older guys or old school racers would call, you know, spaceships. That's not a car.
That's you can go tailgating on that too after you're done.
You know what? And they do after the event, you cut up some meat over there in Austin, get some barbecue over.
There you go.
And then the sequential has to be shifted with a paddle, I mean, with a rod. And then unlimited class is basically what it's called. Unlimited paddle shift sequential, full aero, fully gutted, professional drivers, nitrous is allowed, you know.
Oh, wow.
Everything above and beyond when it comes to that. So we're really excited to bring it back along with the drift and the car show that'll be there. But we try to focus our hardest on bringing Time Attack into a serious viewpoint from the outside looking in, and we're really blessed that SCCA saw that, and SCCA brought us in as a pro sanctioned event. We're the only sanctioned Time Attack event in the United States with a pro backing. Wow. That's also being backed by an organization such as SCCA.
That's good. That means you guys are obviously running it properly and making it safe and having all the accoutrement to make it safe. I think I've used that word twice in 2 weeks now, but all the equipment and all the safety gear and everything and all the right people to keep it safe, right?
100%. SCCA used to have to send their individuals to all of our races to confirm we were fulfilling their standards. Obviously, it's a risk for them if you look at it. Not from our standpoint. You know, Jason and his team have been laying it down to the most professional nature from the beginning. But after a couple of events, we realized that it went from a bunch of people to two people to one person to finally like, yeah, you guys got it. So let us know if you need anything. But, you know, we don't have to babysit you anymore. And we've been like that for some while. So SCCA has been very good. And it also brings it from both parties. There are some very fast cars that run SCCA. A Viper from SCCA ran last year in our unlimited class and podium. You know, this is a time trial guy that had never thought about Time Attack. And to give you like a quick difference, Time Attack is building something to run one fast lap. Time trial cars can run entire sessions. Yes, they're fast by every means, but a time trial car has never looked like a spaceship. The alignment's not as aggressive to the point where it'll blow wheels up. They don't push the limit of their engines to 12. You know, they are a reliability kind of car that goes fast. Time Attack guys, doesn't matter if you set your lap on the first lap or last minute of the last session, that's your fastest lap. So these guys really wring everything out of these cars.
Well, this is really exciting. Now, we're out of time, but can people still sign up? Is the field set already? And we can just now everybody just come out and have some fun and watch?
So we always recommend to people who are who feel they have the experience to go to Superlab Battle USA, do a pre-registration form. I know that the entries are coming in like hotcakes right now, so this would be the best time to do it. Tickets are still available on the website. If anyone has any questions about rules or where their car would fit, obviously we highly recommend reading the rules first, but shoot us an email, rules@superlabbattleusa.com. And just go over all that, but they can definitely come in, get with us, and then if they fit the requirements of running with us, there's a good chance that they can get in. Along with everything else going on the event, it will be live streamed, the entire thing from beginning to end. Our support race, Grid Life Touring Cup, all of that will be
on the internet. This is so perfect.
Like it has been the past few years.
This is exactly what we wanted when Coda first came to Austin. Thank you so much. We are out of time. We appreciate it. Thanks to Brian Till, everybody calling in and listening and watching. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.